The following message from Bible teacher and pastor Jim Crabb is brought to you by Imago Dei Christian Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.
Let's look at two scriptures. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, first of all. 1 Timothy 2, and then we're going to go to Hebrews 6 just for a scripture out of each chapter. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved. That's the will of God, isn't it?
Yeah.
That all men are saved.
Hallelujah.
Who will have all men or wants all men, desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. How many know you can't get saved till you come to the knowledge of the truth? That's coming to the knowledge of the truth is part of salvation. You have to come to an understanding that there is only one way to Christ, to God, and that's through Christ. That's part of the knowledge of the truth. That's why the gospel being preached is most important. Here's my verse, verse 5. For there is one God. One God. There is one God. It doesn't matter how many ways people tell you there are to God or how many gods or people telling you it doesn't matter which God you pray to. The Bible says there is only one God. All other gods, all other constructs and ideas about God are false. They're not the truth. Somebody said, well, you Christians are very narrow-minded. And I said, well, thank you for the compliment. Yes, we are. Jesus said the way to heaven, the road, is a narrow road. It's not narrow because you have to live perfectly. That, don't get that wrong. It's narrow because there's only one way. It's not a broad road. It said broad is the road that leads to destruction. You know what I mean? So the more ideas you have that there are many roads to salvation is not the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. The Bible says, I've been confessing this and saying this sometimes. You know, it says that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Right? So we're not a blessed nation because we have religious freedom. That's not what makes America great. We appreciate religious freedom. That's awesome. But it's not the fact that we have religious freedom that allows people to have all their different ways of serving God. I mean, are you kidding me, man? When, you know, I've known people through the years of witnessing and sharing Christ. There's all kinds of, people have all kinds of different gods, man. They have, and they'll take the God that, even if they talk about Jehovah, the one God that is, they'll talk about him, they'll take him apart and put him back together in such a strange way that it doesn't even represent, it doesn't, at the end, it doesn't even look like him. There is one God, right? It's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. It's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one God. It's the God of that Moses, who wrote the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, the Torah, right? It's the God that Moses writes about, that writes about in the beginning God. That God is the God that there is. There's only one God, right? So if we get persecuted for being narrow-minded, we're just going to have to get persecuted about it. That's a compliment, man. That there is a God. We've come to the knowledge of the truth. And there is one God. And there is only one mediator. A mediator is a go-between. So I don't think it's hard to get people to understand that men are in a bad way. We're all not okay. And we need to get to God. And how do we get to this one God? How do we get back to this one God? And how do we get saved and come out of our sinfulness and our brokenness, what's the way to get there? And he says in verse 5, I love this verse. For there is one God and there is one mediator. There's one man that stands between that God and you. Between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for a ransom for all to be testified of in due time. So there's one God and there's one mediator that stands between that God and all mankind. I don't care if it's a female or a male or an old person or a young person. We all need a mediator to get to God. And that mediator is Jesus Christ. Right? Now, Hebrews 8 real quick. We're going to go to Hebrews 10 where we kind of left off last week. So there's one God, one mediator. One person that can get us to that God. I love this verse. This is, we just got to pull one out of here. Hebrews 8, 6. It says, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry. You know, he's got an excellent ministry. He's got an excellent ministry. By how much also he is the mediator. He's the one that goes between. He is the mediator of a better covenant. You can read the old covenant. I love the old covenant. It's a great covenant. Under the old covenant, you could be healed. You could be forgiven. Under the old covenant, God worked for you. Under the old covenant, God came in and destroyed your enemies. Under the old covenant, there were lepers that were cleansed, weren't there? Under the old covenant, there were miracles that were wrought. The men of God in the old covenant, right? And we appreciate the old covenant. We're not taking anything away from the old covenant. But we are saying tonight that by how much more he, Jesus, is the mediator of a better covenant. So this Jesus that's the mediator between God and man is also the mediator of a better covenant because it was established upon better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, right? In other words, strong enough, then there would have been no place sought for the second. In other words, if the first one was adequate, the fact that there is a second one speaks to some weakness in the first one, right? And so with those scriptures in mind, let's look back now at Hebrews chapter 10. So there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He mediates. He stands between. The day I got saved, he put one hand on me and he put one hand on God. He represented me and he represented God. And he mediated this new covenant between this broken man, my sinfulness, and between this perfect God. That's what Hebrews 10 does. Hebrews 10 will tell us how Jesus so powerfully mediated. Donald Trump's got his book. Years ago, you know, his most famous book was called, and I read it years ago, it's called The Art of the Deal, right? And Donald Trump will even say in that book, or any good businessman, when you strike a deal, you're not just looking for the good deal to be good for you, you want it to be good for everybody. And a good deal is when both people, that's a really good deal, if both people walk away happy. Isn't that right? And I believe in the ministry of Jesus, when he mediated between me in my brokenness, I don't know what all he pulled up about me to represent me, but he represented me. He stood in the gap for me. And this is a weird thing to say, but he brokered a deal on my behalf with a perfect God. So he brokered a deal between a sinful, broken, fallen humanity and a perfect God that had never sinned, that had never, has no taint on his record at all, and brokered a deal and brought broken man and perfect God together. That's the ministry of Jesus. He brokered the deal. He mediated a brand new covenant. And somehow, I know I got a good deal. I know I could be. If listen, I came out good. Are you happy? Are you happy with the deal that Jesus brokered on your behalf, Pastor? Yes, man. Are you kidding me? I was bound by sin. I was on my way to a devil's hell. I was ugly and wicked, and I was cruel. My heart was stony and hard. And yet he was able to broker a deal. And, you know, if I didn't know better, I'd say, well, somehow he took advantage of the other party. It's almost like he hoodwinked God. Like, how could we be included as part of a good deal? But that's the power of what we're talking about in Jesus tonight. That Jesus brokered a deal that was able to satisfy both parties perfectly. And as, listen to me, as good a deal as I got, and I got a great one, I have never wanted my money back. I really haven't. I've never thought, well, I didn't know that. I got cheated. I didn't know that. You know, sometimes I've had people, we begin to enter into a contract or something, and they didn't read the fine print. And then when they read the fine print, they felt like they got cheated or something. I've read all the fine print, the big print. I have never felt cheated in the deal that Jesus brokered for me in the new covenant. But in the same way, and maybe that's almost the given. You know, it wouldn't take much to upgrade where I was. So any benefit I got, I was in good shape. Right? So I'm not dissing the deal at all. But what about God? How does God, the perfect one, the ageless one, the eternal one, the one that made heaven and earth and all the universe and the stars and the sky and everything that is made, the one that in the beginning he already was, the one that at the end he will always be, and he'll go beyond an eternity past and he'll go into eternity future. That perfect God, that how majestic must he be. The Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. The purest, the brightest, the bright in the morning star. The lily of the valley. Come on. The fountain of living waters. The life of God. The hope of mankind. All these things that describe what God is with all his glorious attributes. What I want to know is, what was he thinking and how did it come to be that he thinks, and I'm telling you, I believe that God our Father is as happy with the deal as you are. I got a great deal. I am of all men. I'm not looking back. I still can't believe he took the deal, that he wanted to be included in the deal. But I'm telling you tonight, if we understand the principle of what I'm going to just say shortly tonight, man, that God our Father is most satisfied as well. That helps my heart. That helps me know and pray in confidence. God is not begrudgingly in relationship with me. But God is a willing partner in this new covenant, in this new agreement. And the reason that he is because of the power of the mediator. The mediator made the terms such a way. How can you come to terms like this? Where the broken man that brings nothing to the table comes to the perfect God, come on, that has everything. I bring nothing, he brings everything, but Jesus, the power of the cross and the blood and the work of Jesus Christ, the mediator work of Jesus, was such that he convinced me to do it, which was a big deal. And he convinced God to say, amen, I want that deal. And I'm telling you that as happy as I am tonight about Jesus, and as happy as we are about knowing Christ and the benefits of the new covenant through the mediator Jesus, our Father tonight says, I've never thought about wanting my money back either. I've never thought, you know, God doesn't spend eternity complaining about, I don't know how Jesus pulled this off, but he made me get in this relationship with all those crazy humanity down there. No. He's so blessed. And he'd do the deal over and over and over again for every one of us. Amen. So with that context, we come. So I just want to reiterate some of this. The power of what Jesus did. How could he get this deal done with God? He says in verse 1, he refers back to the law. Remember the law of Moses, the law of do's and don'ts. Thou shalt, thou shalt not. The law, you could write in there, the law of Moses in the old covenant, had a shadow of good things to come. You know, the shadow of good things to come is not the substance itself. The shadow of good things to come, you know, my shadow, right? I like to get where the light hits me right and I seem tall, you know? That's the only time I'm tall, man. I was thinking about, I don't know why, but I got a word about Zacchaeus today too, man. I was going to preach about Zacchaeus. I love Zacchaeus. He's one of my favorite Bible guys, not because he climbed a tree to see Jesus, because he was short. Huh? But a shadow, however long that shadow is, a shadow is not the real thing. A shadow doesn't have any substance to it. The law had a shadow of good things. So there were good things in the law, but I would say this, under the old covenant compared to the new agreement we have, under the new deal Jesus brokered, the old covenant is like the shadow of Jim Crab versus touching and holding Jim. Right? There's not the substance of all the good things that are under the new covenant. The law had a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of those things. And that law can never, with the sacrifices that were under the law, the sacrifices of doves and goats and etc., oxen, all the Old Testament sacrifices that were part of the law can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, the law could never continually make the comers thereunto perfect. I'm going to tell you why God took this deal. I believe, and I know we talked about these verses last week, but I'm going to reiterate this. The reason that God thinks he got a good deal, I still struggle saying he did, but he said he did. He thinks he did. That's what matters. What he thinks about it, what matters. Did you get a good deal, Father? Yes. The reason he thinks he got a good deal was because when Jesus, the work of the cross and the blood of the new covenant and the work of Christ has the power to do what the old covenant couldn't do, and that's make the comers, make the people that are part of it, it couldn't make them perfect. But what he's saying is, by stating it that way, what he's saying is, but under the new covenant, after the cross, through the work of Jesus, the reason God will say, amen, I got a good deal. He'd look at me and say, you happy, Pastor? Yes. Are you, Father? He'll say, yes, I'm as happy about it as you are. You know why? Because the work of Jesus as the mediator, and through the blood that he shed on the cross, is able to make me, who's part of the deal, is able to make me perfect. That's why God thinks he got a good deal. Because he's not getting broken me. Because of the work of the mediator, Jesus negotiated in, I'll take care of him, and I'll take care of them, and I will give them a new heart, and I will make them perfect. Now, it doesn't mean that they'll never stumble or fall or they never have a flaw. The word perfect there is the Greek word that's used for, remember when Jesus hung on the cross? What was the last things Jesus said on the cross before he gave up the ghost? It's finished. It's the word perfect means to bring to its intended purpose or end, to complete, to get all the way there. And when Jesus died on the cross, he said, now my purpose is all the way there. And it's the same word that's used here in the Greek. What he's saying is, under the word perfect, is that the power of the new covenant through the blood of Jesus Christ is that he is able to bring the people that come into this deal, he's able to bring them to their intended end or purpose, or take them all the way into what God always wanted us to be, which was perfect. He told Abraham when he made that deal with Abraham, he said, walk before me and be perfect. And through the ministry of Jesus, that's what I'm telling you, God got a good deal. You know why? Because through Jesus, the power of Jesus Christ is that he could take broken humanity and perfect it. And when he made the deal, he knew. God the Father knew, I'm not getting broken Jim. I'm getting Jim that has a mediator working through him that makes him, that brings him to this place where I've always wanted him to be. You know, the good news of the gospel is that Jesus takes me beyond my human deeds and efforts. So I'm more perfect than I act. I am. We're more perfect than we act. It's not based on what we do. My power, the power of my life and our life in Christ is, we don't point to what we did. That's what the Pharisees tried to do all the time. They kept pointing to their own deeds, their own works, and all those kind of things. And yet, in the new covenant, what we do is we point to our mediator and say, praise God, our mediator, Jesus Christ, has worked in our heart, and he's made us, he's perfected us, and he's brought us to a place that's better than our behavior. And even when my behavior is not where it needs to be, I depend on the power of Jesus Christ and the blood of the cross He has made us perfect. So the law, verse 1 says, wasn't able to get you there. But the New Testament is able to get you there. I'm going to tell you. So was God dissatisfied? Why would he be dissatisfied? He got everybody that comes to God by faith and says, I trust Jesus Christ. He gets a perfect model of us. He gets us, you know, when he made Adam and Eve, he made them in the garden. He made them in their sinless, perfected state, didn't he? Well, in Christ, when God brokered the deal for us, he gets back perfect. Father, you happy? Why would I be unhappy? I got perfect Bob. Perfect Bob lives with perfect Beth. Huh? Yes. That's what I mean, man. Perfect Sarah married perfect Jim. We have a perfect life that have a perfect marriage. Because, you know what? It's kind of funny, but I'm not kidding you, man. That's a New Testament reality. The perfection of our life. We're all brought to our intended purpose and end in the New Testament. And when we keep pointing to the mediator, the one that made the deal, brokered the, there would be no, listen, here's my point. You know, without Jesus standing there as a mediator, there wouldn't be a deal. You know, I've seen, you know, sometimes, TJ's grandpa was the head of the union, the auto UAW, the big car plants in up north, you know, and I mean, man, you know, TJ's grandpa's a trip. That's Keith Payne, our worship director's dad. And if you ever met Grandpa Payne, man, there is, God made him, man. And you know what Grandpa Payne's job was? Grandpa Payne, he loved those workers. Man, he went to bat for those workers. He went to bat when the company was trying to take stuff away from him, or take benefits away. Grandpa Payne put that cow, I'm sure he always wore that cowboy hat. Is he as long as you knew him, TJ? Grandpa Payne, big, tall, slender guy from the coal area of West Virginia, and his family went up north. I'm telling you, Grandpa Payne was made to broker deals. And that brother wasn't taking any prisoners. He would go in there, man. And I know Grandpa Payne, he's like Pastor Crabb, man. You look, we'll talk you to death if we don't like what's going on. Me and Grandpa Payne will wear you down. I remember one time one of our guys was, after we built, I think I've said this story, we built the huge family life center up there where the school is now. And we had just gotten it done. And one of our guys that had an HVAC business, he donated all the HVAC. I think we bought some of the equipment, but he donated all the labor through. That's a huge building. And so we hadn't dedicated it yet, but at large, the building was completed. And I remember and one day we got there and was coming toward the dedication, and some part of it wasn't working. You know, when anything's brand new, there's going to be things you got to take care of. And so we called this guy. I said, we'll call him. And, you know, so he was out doing, finally he could get done with Pastor Crabb's building. Now he could get his business back going again. And he was out doing something. He had another guy with him that went to the church that worked for him. And they came right away. And they got up on the top, you know, on the roof. And they were messing with the HVAC units. And an OSHA guy drove by. You know, the safety and health and all those guys. And, you know, they're like the law of that kind of stuff. And you got to keep all the rules and you got to do it the right way. And so they, I guess they were driving by and they saw those two guys up there. Well, if you're up on that roof, what the rule is, you're supposed to have this, like some kind of a barrier, all over a protect, like a fence almost thing around the, at least in tape, all the way around the perimeter of the thing. So this OSHA guy sees them just walking around on top of this building. He sees that this guy's got an HVAC truck and repair company. And so he comes in and he demands to talk to them. And so he starts talking to them. And I looked out the window and saw something going on. I went out, got in it, and said, "What's going on?" And he explained himself. And he said, "I'm going to write these guys up." It was a $10,000 fine. Because he was violating OSHA. Well, I started talking, and I started talking and negotiating, not knowing what I was doing, but I thought if I talk long enough, I'll confuse this guy and I'll figure it out by the time I get done with this thing. And the more I talked, the more I got him to say. Yeah. I got him talking. Yeah. And what I learned from getting him to talk was that this is, because this is private property, and so I figured out, I thought, I got the answer right here. Here's their loophole. Here was my loophole, was because I wasn't going to let these guys get stuck with the $10,000 thing. This guy just given months, a year of his life, put this HVAC in, and I called him up here today to get up on the roof, and the last thing I want is this guy to be fined $10,000. But it was bothering me because my guy, the guy that I was his pastor, he was being real sweet about it. And I was like, "Man, come on, we got to argue back. We're not going to let this happen here. I pastored you better than that. We're not going to let this guy take $10,000 out of your pocket or anybody's pocket, man." And I realized the loophole was, well, wait a minute, man. I told him, I said, "They're not here as contractors. They're here because they go to church here. That's not so-and-so's HVAC company up there. That's so-and-so and so-and-so Pastor Crab's flock that love the house of God and are contributing all their time to this thing." You know, like if Jerry's not an HVAC guy, but if they'd have seen Jerry up there, they couldn't have fined Jerry $10,000 because he's not there as a worker with his corporation. And so I wrestled this guy. I talked to this guy. I'm not kidding you. I had this guy trapped in an office for 3 hours. I'm telling you, this guy at first was just so convinced. No, Pastor, you're wrong. This is da da da. And I just kept talking and talking and talking. I could see him starting to wear down. Hallelujah. And I wore him down until he finally said, he stood up and totally frustrated. He said, "Look, all right, I won't do it. But I'll tell you one thing." He said, "If you ever lose this job as the pastor of the church, I want you to promise me you'll be an attorney, because I might hire you if I ever need one. Because I have never had anybody talk to me and wrestle this out of me. I know this stuff like the back of my hand. I'm not agreeing with you. I'm just giving up." Well, that's how Grandpa Payne was. When he went into battle for those workers, I meant it, man. I'm telling you, there was nothing in me. I was thinking about that guy and the sacrifice that he'd made and the life that he'd lived. And he gave all those hundreds of thousands of dollars in his time and his energy and effort to help me accomplish the vision of God. And I wasn't about to do it. So you know what I was? I was the mediator. I was the go-between. I was the one that stood between my brothers in this situation, man. That's the way Grandpa Payne was for those workers. And he'd stand there and he'd fight and argue and construct the deal, threaten to strike, I'm sure. That's what a union rep does, man. And I want you to know that Jesus went to bat for us. I'm telling you, Jesus stood up. There was nothing in me. I don't know how far I'd have taken that thing that day, but that guy was not getting out of my office until he gave in and realized that this is a bad deal for everybody. And that's beyond the scope. You might find it in some perfect rule, a law of OSHA. But sometimes you have to look beyond the scope of just the facts and the main issues and get to the heart of the thing. And that's what Jesus did with the Father. And he negotiated a deal and he stood before me. And this is when I heard the gospel, you know what happened? He was the mediator for God. And he stood there and pled the cause of God to me. Why I should trust him. Why I should give my heart to Jesus Christ. He pled the cause of God and pled and pushed and made such a case for God and his goodness and his salvation that someone that I didn't have any theological idea of all this, but I knew when the Holy Spirit argued the cause of God to me, it was a good deal. It was the right thing to do. To give up finally the rights to my life. To give up my future. To give up my past. That's not saying much. But to give up my rights to myself. To take the heart of my life and put it into the hands of a God that I cannot see and I've never known. And he convinced me it was a good deal. And he convinced me that I would never be unhappy. And I'm telling you, I haven't. Then he turned around, that same mediator, and he pled my case to God. And somehow he was able to plead the case for Jim Crabb. Why should I accept Jim Crabb? The Father could have said. And Jesus pled my case to the Father. And he says, if you'll let me have it, if you'll accept this deal, I'll give him to you on perfect terms. And I'll hand him over to you in his perfected state. Because he's already promised me he'll trust in my work to make him perfect. I want to tell you tonight, guys, I mean it. I wish I could tell the whole world this tonight. This is a good deal. And whatever the terms are to this deal, I'm happy with. And whatever the terms are to the Father tonight is happy tonight to say, you will never find God saying, I didn't get a good deal. I know exactly what I got, and I like the deal with humanity that I got. The art of the deal. Donald wasn't first, it was Jesus. Jesus wrote the book. This is it right here, man. This is the original art of the deal. I have a signed copy tonight, signed in the blood of the one that stood between God and man and made man happy and made God happy through his sacrifice. Isn't that a good, that's good news, isn't it? I think we ought to put our hands toward heaven tonight. In fact, let's stand up tonight. Let's stand up. Father, come on, let's praise him just for a moment. Father, we thank you tonight for this deal. We thank you tonight for this deal that we're in with the Father through Jesus Christ. Tonight, Lord, I thank you that you handcrafted a masterful deal. It's a deal that's based upon new and better promises in the new covenant. And tonight, I give you thanks and praise. Tonight, I'm not pleading with you, I want my money back. Tonight, I'm pleading with you saying, Lord, I thank you for this deal that you brokered between me and my Father. And tonight I thank you that you stood in my place and you pled my cause to the perfect God. And somehow a perfect God and broken man to begin with entered into a contract and a covenant. We give you thanks and praise for it tonight.
We trust you enjoyed this message. For more information about Pastor Jim Crabb and Imago Dei, please visit our website at imagodeicincy.com. imagodeicincy.com.